And welcome to our podcast, Geeks Are Wired, where we talk about video games, movies, TV, comic books, technology, and TLDR, the Internet of Things. And this week, we have Alex.
Hey, everybody.
And you can find his stuff on robovdino.com.
That's right. I'm working on a video game that's going to get a Steam release next spring. It's a video game where you're a robot that's unreasonably angry at dinosaurs. You collect stuff, you throw it at the dinosaurs, knock them out, pick up the dinosaurs, and you throw them on a boat. And possibly other things that you throw them on.
Well, there you go.
I feel like it's perfectly reasonable rage.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, so you're not killing the dinosaurs. You are just transporting them.
That's right. That's right. Well, I don't know. There's the question. If you take a dinosaur and you submerge yourself in the water, like, you regenerate, but what happened to the dinosaur? Are they alive?
Dinosaurs, fine. They're strong swimmers.
There you go.
That's too kid-friendly, Alex.
They,
you can't...
they do. They swim dino style.
I like that.
But dinosaurs. Yeah.
Exactly.
Dogs weren't around when the dinosaurs were around. So they called it dinosaur style before doggy style. Dogs ripped off dinosaurs.
It's true. That's true. I do wonder how the T-Rex managed to do it. Because you think that with the, you know, there's no way to really grasp the female with the short claws. Because dogs, they kind of wrap their paws around...
We're actually talking about swimming, but keep going.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, so just saying. It seems hard.
Me and Bill both said doggy style. I think we both meant
doggy paddle.
Doggy paddling.
Oh. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, dino paddle, that's what I meant.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're right.
So, point to Jordan. Me and Bill are idiots. Yeah.
But anyway, yeah.
Jordan went off in another direction. We went off the swimming direction.
I
know what you meant, Bill. And our listeners probably had no idea.
I just have a filthy mind. I don't apologize.
If you want to side with either Jordan or Bill, call us at 801-236-45-29-31, extension 55.
Nope, it's 801-896-4335.
It's not a 555 number?
No, 4335.
Okay.
It spells geek.
I wanted to see how Hollywood this was.
I don't know. And Alex, if you're wondering, it's in that show note.
Oh, yeah, there it is. You
know, yeah, I was like...
You can make the argument that dino paddle is stylish, so is dino style dino paddle.
There we go.
All right.
True that.
That's what I was thinking. I know it didn't quite sound right when I said, like, this doesn't sound right. It's coming out of my mouth. And it's been said now and recorded. And then it'll be published and then other people will hear it.
That's right. It's your legacy, Bill.
I know. It might be the name of the podcast now. The episode. Not the podcast.
Dino style or dino paddle?
I like dino style.
Dino style sounds a little better.
Paddling with the dinosaurs.
Paddling. That was actually not too bad. During last week's title was all you. Your title.
Oh yeah, my. Oh,
a force
yeah.
to be reckoned with.
I was in my punny mood.
Well, it did turn into a good. I had to create that image. I was kind of altering, getting ideas. But did you see the image?
I did not.
Every episode has its own image. I'd probably be easier just to pull it up instead of online, actually pull it up in the thing. But, okay, well, we'll figure out the name of the podcast. How about a bit? I pull it up for, is that really it? Oh, that made it easy. For listeners, if you want to go look at it, go to our website or go to our Facebook page. Yep.
That
took some time to edit, but. I need to get better at Photoshop.
Yeah, 280. That's a very good way of putting it.
I know. Okay. Let's see. What else do we have? We have... Let's start off with this. PlayStation 5 has been... Oh, wait, no, I'm totally skipping. We have a Jordan. We didn't even, like, finish introductions.
That's true, yeah. I've been alleged to be the human embodiment of DNA origami. Alleged by myself.
And you can be found at Jordan. Jordan is awesome sauce.
I like to think so sometimes. Sometimes.
Dot awesome sauce dot sauce.
That's the site. You'll find me there.
Okay.
Dot gov.
Ah, there you go.
Naturally.
Of course.
I wouldn't be in any dot info site or dot biz site. It has to be dot gov. It's well researched.
Actually, I've been working on some stuff, so
dot
we
biz?
Might have a
nice.
New. Yeah.
I hear they're pretty reliable.
Yeah.
Domains. Yeah. Trustworthy.
There's plenty of them.
Yeah.
Just not .org. Yeah. Those are like the classic late 90s, early 2000s of, can you not afford a real one? No.
They're an organization. Of course they can't.
Of course. They're usually free. They just got money.
Yeah.
Oh, then there's me. I'll just introduce myself. Bill.
Hey, Bill. How's it going?
It's awesome.
Awesome sauce?
Awesome sauce.
I like to hear that.
Exactly. And apparently, I'm not just a Bill, but I become a law at 2 o'clock in the morning. But that's for different news.
Oh, man. Don't make me depressed.
Okay, so we'll go back to what I was talking about. What I started talking about, or introductions, was PlayStation 5 has been announced. And so they were, up until PlayStation 4, like waiting 7 years, releasing the new one, then waiting 10 years for life of console to put out the new, or before they end the console. So, PlayStation 4 was originally released in North America back in 2013.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. So, if they're going to stick to their 7-year, like, so if besides PlayStation 3, PlayStation 4 time period, because 3 is still kind of around. They're keeping its life alive. They haven't fully killed it. 4 did come out a couple years later. But them announcing it, it's been 4 years. So the fact that it's going to come out somewhere between 2018 to 2020.
Yeah, somewhere there.
Yeah.
You know, Bill, this will create a huge dilemma for lots of people because they'll have to ask themselves when they get this new console whether they want to put it high or put it low. Do they want a high five?
Yeah.
Or a low five. Lots of arguments are going to break out. I think that friendships will... People will question things.
I'm just going to demand a 10.
Yeah, get two of them.
PlayStation, give me some skin.
Yep.
Okay, yeah, sorry guys.
I was like, where are you going with this? I approve, still.
Thank you.
I'm kind of surprised they. I guess it makes sense that they do announce or at least confirm that there's going to be a follow up system. But I don't know if there's like a benefit. Like I gotta wonder what the benefit is for doing that. Because like every time like a new console's announced, it feels like everybody just doesn't want to like buy like the current gen system.
And they just they're getting ready to release a new one, right?
Yeah, and I mean the PS3, like I ended up buying one of the slim PS3s because it's about the time the PS4 is already out, but I needed like a new PS3 and like all my games are PS3, so I ended up buying it just because the PS4 wasn't backward compatible and there weren't any games I wanted for it. But I gotta wonder like what that's gonna do to like a PS4's VR. Does that mean it's just gonna be like the PlayStation Move on the PS3? Like they invest all this money into like making this technology and that's like, oh, well, I got this new console. It doesn't support it. It's just going to go away.
Well, you think they wouldn't support it on the new console?
Well, I mean, they didn't for the PlayStation Move, did they?
Well, yeah, but they're throwing so much money into VR right now that if they were to move forward and with a more powerful console and not support VR, with such a more powerful console, I feel like it would become.
Well, it would have a new, it would be built on a new engine and everything, more powerful and everything. But of course, I don't see them throwing away VR. But yeah, compatibility issues. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know how that works.
VR. I will once again, just like total lie. Apparently, the PS4 does support the PlayStation Move. So I guess they didn't like completely sweep it under the rug. So yeah, never mind. There's like no reason to believe the VR is going to be at risk.
Okay, yeah. That makes way more sense because, as you both were saying, they invested a lot, and VR is going to become more of a thing as it becomes more advanced.
I forgot. They did. Yeah, you're right. They did go with the Move. They just, because they were kind of competing with the Kinect, but they didn't force it on their consumers like Microsoft did.
Yeah, it's just like this like side project, which, I mean, Sony, yeah. Sony, like, Sony loves doing stuff like that. And it's so weird that they'll dump all this money into like weird side projects that are usually like well fleshed out and work pretty well, but then just don't do anything with it. So I guess that's not that weird to see Sony announce, hey, we've got the Sony like put all this funding into a VR system this for this console. And then, oh yeah, here's a new console.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess it's not that weird.
While we were talking about it, I realized I don't know what I'm talking about when it comes to VR. A new engine, engines are for games, not for consoles. Wait a second. Yeah, Alex, sure. Correct me if I'm wrong, but engines have nothing to do with consoles. It's
yeah, pretty much. The engine just powers to give it video game. It's the engine for a video game, like a vroom type engine.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Well, it also could have the support for the VR games and stuff like that. All the extra pixels and look of the game and everything.
This is exciting information because at least it lets me know that I was rightly aware that I didn't know what I was talking about. So,
Bill, it's your turn to talk out your butt.
Yep. Hey, just make up words. Put words together. Call them good.
Yeah, it's still weird that that Sony announced that to me, but I guess it fits their plan. So I guess it just isn't that weird. I personally, every time Sony announces a new console, I just don't really care. Like, Sony doesn't make exciting consoles. It's just that they have really great software on them. Mm-hmm. Like, until games are announced for the PS5, like that's it's not like when Nintendo or like when Sega would announce a new system, because those ones are always like, whoa, what crazy thing are they going to do this time? But ever since like the PlayStation 1 and like the original Xbox, it's like it's a thing that's optical media and it plays video games.
Mm-hmm.
Like they haven't changed that formula at all for any of the consoles. Like the closest they ever did was the Kinect came standard with the Xbox One.
And they're out of sequence too, because who knows? The next one might be Xbox 6. It could go there. They're like, why not? Or Infinity. Or Infinity plus 6.
Wait, has anyone ever checked? Is the Infinity symbol really just 8, really drunk, and fell over?
Yeah, yes. That's actually how it happened. It
8 got drunk and fell over.
Yep, the Egyptians were kind of looking at it, and they're like, yep, Infinity.
Mathematicians are just like trying to figure out like a way to calculate infinity by just like pouring beer onto numeral 8 and hoping for the best.
Actually, I think early mathematicians really had to be intoxicated to cope with life because, you know, Egyptians, they had a hieroglyphic for every single number. It wasn't base 10 or base 60 like the Babylonians. It was just they had a hieroglyphic for everything.
Yikes. Hmm.
Yeah, and so if you wanted to have 976, there is a specific hieroglyphic you had to memorize for that.
That's lots of work.
Maybe it's one of those, maybe it's like one of those things that like when you're in school and like your teacher would want you to write like a 5-page essay, like you would like double and a half space it and like put like extra wide margins on it, like just to make sure that they pad out. With hieroglyphs on their like their slates, they turn to their teachers. They just invented all these extra hieroglyphs for numbers.
Look, it filled up the entire page. This one number.
It's like the scribe class did. Like they didn't want to. Like they just didn't want to have to deal with like the pharaoh. Like with like the pharaoh's like absurd requests for long book reports. So they would just like fill out these massive slates.
That's right. Just banging, pounding angrily on their tablet.
And on page page chicken and a biscuit duck, you will find. I guess they would. They had papyrus. They could have books. Never mind. I was gonna say that they would have books, but.
Well, it depends on what, because Egypt or ancient Egypt was spanning thousands of years, like 2,000 years.
That's true.
3,000 years. No, 3,000 years, I think.
I don't know. It lasted a long, long
time. It was a while.
Yeah.
And so they spanned the writing format or forms. It's like they started with their tablets and they went with, eventually.
Oh.
There's some intermediaries.
Oh.
It's like, I think, wax tablets and stuff like that. I don't know. I'm also.
They're kind of just like really inefficient office supplies, just so the scribe class can just keep their jobs. And then someone shows up with like rice paper and like Arab numerals, and the pharaoh just killed off the scribe class.
I like to believe the pharaoh had his own like servant who served as a writing tool, like a Guy Pearce, but just tattooed his writing material on and just.
Well, I'm starting to think like the ancient Egyptians are more like the music industry. It's like we have these, you know, wax cones that played music. Then we made records, and then we turned it into digital cassettes. Or I guess there was 4 tracks, then 8 tracks, then cassettes. Was there a 16-track? I don't know. Then we have the CDs.
I don't know what's even inside of an 8-track. Is it tape or is it like a what's tape. Inside
yeah,
of it?
It's magnetic.
Yeah, yeah, it's
but is it tape?
Yeah.
Okay. I've always wondered that. Like every time I picked one up, I'm like, I don't know how this thing works. It looks like an NES cartridge, but it's kind of heavy.
Yeah.
No, I guess like an Atari cartridge. They're a little more blocky than that, but.
Yeah, like in 4 tracks in nature. They were getting, as cassettes were coming, you know, for between 4-track and cassettes, we just got better at cramming more information into the little tape strips, the magnetic strips, just, you know, like CDs and DVDs and Blu-rays. We got better at cramming more information into these little pieces of plastic.
That's true. Yeah. Well, it's the frequency of light. It holds more information.
Ah.
Blue is good.
Oh, with the PlayStation 5, though, I love... I don't know, Alex, did you open up the show note link webpage?
I didn't notice that there.
Every time there's a new PlayStation announced, there's like, look, here is a beta for what it's going to look like and what the new controller is going to look like. Okay, the console is going to look different.
They always do these mock-ups, and it's like, wow, that looks really cool when it comes out. No, it's going to be the same exact controller that Sony's always used, and it's just going to be another black box.
Mm-hmm.
Sony's console business is we make a very practical console, and you make good software for it. Like that's what they do. Like the most exciting piece of hardware they've ever made was the PlayStation 3, and that's just because it had like card readers in the front.
Yeah.
I mean, there isn't like a new optical format coming out that anyone needs. Like, Blu-ray coming out for the PS3, that was serendipitous. PS2 and DVD, hey, that worked out great too. Cheap DVD player, PlayStation CD player, that was great too. And PlayStation 4 is like, yeah, it's Blu-ray again. PlayStation 5, I mean, everyone streams, so yeah. I mean, like, they may even just like kick out the, just like get rid of like physical media altogether, or maybe like switch to Flash.
Alex, I don't stream.
Yeah, they're going to keep retail for like video games, but like for video, I won't be surprised if Sony's like it doesn't need optical. It's too expensive.
Or even because we've gotten back to the time period one of the reasons why I think Nintendo went back to the cartridge is that storage ability is cheap again. We went away from it because it was getting so expensive compared to CDs, and now it's really cheap compared.
How much information does a Switch cartridge hold?
I'm not sure. It's substantial. It's like more. It's like up there with like Blu-ray.
And
really,
it's like 64 gig or something.
And you can store terabytes on a thumb drive. I mean, that's basically what it is. And I'm not talking like a terabyte. I'm talking like multiple of, and depending on even the SD cards. If you do SDXC.
Mm-hmm.
It transmits at, I think, 1.5 meg a second. It might be faster than that, but you can store up to 2 terabytes on that card.
That seems like a slow method to transfer information, because
that's apparently one of the faster ones.
Is it? Because, I don't know, meg per second, it'd take a thousand seconds to transfer
I think I was off on that.
So I just looked it up, and Blu-ray, a single layer is 25 gig, and a dual layer is 50 gig. Mm. And there's like also like a Blu-ray disc XL, which I don't know if it's a physically larger disc or what, but apparently it'll hold up to 128 gig. The current Nintendo Switch cards, like the largest size they've got now is 32 gig. So they're kind of right in the middle there for what Blu-ray capacities are. But most video games are under 30 gig these days. I know like that sounds like, oh, only. But I mean, in terms of expanding the size, I won't be surprised if Nintendo will eventually like bump that out a little bit. I mean, that's like right now the 32 gigabyte, but toward the end of like the DS lifespan, they went from like 2 meg up to like, you know, 256 meg. So I won't be surprised if the Switch like eventually support like very huge cards.
It really seems like compression algorithms must be getting progressively better. Well, I mean, really a lot better, because I remember when Metal Gear Solid 4 came out, it received attention for filling up an entire double layer Blu-ray disc.
Oh, you mean 4?
Yeah, number 4. And so 5 also. And
That one was, they did like 7.1 audio for it, and that game had so much dialogue in it. Like, I mean, the audio is what makes those games so big.
Okay. So I found out the speeds and the sizes.
Okay.
So the regular AR SD card transfers at 25 meg a second.
Mm, that sounds reasonable.
SDHD is 104 megs a second.
That's really fast.
SDXC transfers at 312 meg a second.
Wow. Yeah, that's pretty incredible. You can transfer an entire terabyte of content in just over 3 seconds.
Right.
300 megs per second.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be a gigabyte.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's right. Like, terabyte is 1,000 gigs. That's right.
Absolutely.
Okay.
There's technically an argument with that.
Never mind. I have to modify my.
Okay, but 1056, or even if we're going to simplify.
Well, it'd be around over 3,000.
Yeah.
Seconds. Yeah. Which is, yeah, that's what? 30 minutes to do the entire, or 30. What? How much would that be? Yeah, I need a calculator.
If you know the answer, call in at 801-896-4335. No context, just blurt out the answer and hang up.
1,300. Okay, 50.
You sure?
50 something.
It's still pretty good.
It is exactly 50.
Yeah. See? Even 50 like minutes. Even though math or arithmetic, I suck at it. I sometimes can do it.
And so a standard SD card has capability range of 128 meg to 2 gigs. SDHC, 4 gigs to 32 gigs. And XC is 64 gigs to 2 terabytes.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's pretty cool that like the flash storage is getting so cheap, because we can't get away from optical. Because optical's got like... It sort of just moved the goalposts back for the problem with magnetic storage as a media.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm kind of glad that we can like go toward that. And it's not like there've been like concerns about like how long flash storage can last and how durable it is. Like that's been like a huge concern of like, especially like the retro game community, but it's kind of like the difference is like the quality. Cause like, if you buy like a crappy jump drive, yeah, like you basically look at it wrong, it's going to die. But like compact flash cards from like the early 90s, they're like still running just fine. Like they aren't having any problems. They're just like, you know, they hold 32 megs. So nobody uses them. And it's the same thing with like optical media. Optical media is like really poor optical media of like really poor quality degrades really easily, especially from like UV. But, and there's also like really high quality, there's really high quality media out there. So I think it's like kind of a, I think if like the, if we go toward like the flash storage, we're just gonna get like better speeds and not really suffer any consequences of like switching over to this media. Okay. Other than like there's, other than we can get away from optical games, which the consoles themselves that play them are going to start breaking down someday. And there's really not a way around that.
Yeah, like the Nintendo.
No,
the NES.
Nothing.
It will break down one day. I promise.
Everything breaks down one day. We break down one day. So, yeah.
Eventually. The NESs will finally stop working one day.
One day.
And then you'll blow it out. And then it will continue working. And then you'll pass it on to your grandchildren. And then they may have to solder some pieces. And...
And the nice thing about those is like the nice thing about those consoles is they Nintendo like let the patents expire, didn't like pull a Disney and like fight the patents on like the NES and SNES. So there's like clone consoles coming out now. They're kind of like these boutique efforts to make like really high quality, like archive grade, kind of like how they do with like turntables, like how you can spend like $500 on a turntable if you want to play like your Yellow Submarine record that you bought at like Spencer Gifts.
Yeah.
Like they're doing the same thing with like NES and like SNESs now. Like there's like super ridiculous quality like SNESs and NESs coming out that are like kind of built to kind of last for eternity.
More so than the classics.
Oh yeah, like these ones. Like there's like an NES that came out that's like made out of like a block of aluminum and has like an HDMI out on it. Like there basically aren't like analog parts on. Like it's all solid state electronics and. Like has like a way better built cartridge slot on it than the original.
Ah, okay.
I'll see if I can put a picture of it in the show notes. It looks, the thing looks really silly, and it is, it's also equivalently silly to pay like $500 for an NES.
I gotta confess that one of the first things I did when I got my first cartridge game for Switch, Zelda, was I was actually my heart was palpitating. It was, I mean, more than usual. Fortunately,
it was
and
a good kind of palpating.
Yeah, it was pretty excited. And the first thing I did is I pulled the cartridge out and then I tossed it on the ground. And I was like, it's pretty nice because it's durable. Mm-hmm. I remember those days and they're back.
So. Especially the way they put it in the box. You kind of like, you have to get your finger in it and it kind of pops it out. And you're like, Oh, I'm good.
Yeah. No, it's exciting. I licked it also. I kind of gave it a good licking.
How does it taste?
It tasted like a cartridge, really.
Okay.
I think that there's no real change in how previous cartridges tasted.
Licked it, and I thought it tasted weird last time. But it's been like a while since I licked the cartridge.
Huh.
I forgot now. I thought you blew on it.
I have blown on it.
Okay.
I didn't need to. I just wanted to.
Just that classic feeling.
Yeah, it was a pretty good sensation. That was a good afternoon.
No. Hadn't even played the game, but that alone was the good afternoon.
Well, that was a good preamble to the good afternoon. And then I played the game and it became a great afternoon. Because
so
it's Zelda.
I'm pondering about getting Skyrim for it.
Oh, yeah.
I decided to... Because of Alex's recommendations, I have gotten a few games that have been entertaining.
Mm.
There's the new Mario game.
And oh, really? Yes. How far into that are you?
I wandered around a lot. I own all of the items, lit all of the things. I'm not very far. I can guarantee that.
Oh.
But I have uncovered all the rocks and knocked off and cleared off all the... The debris.
You like to clean stuff up.
You get points for it.
For cleaning.
Yeah, the Ghost Kingdom right off the bat. Ghost Hat Kingdom.
Oh,
you
yeah.
start knocking off all. You start like throwing off.
Oh yeah,
all the junk.
You get your coins. I guess.
Well, you get coins, but also at the very end, you kind of get that achievement. Doodle-doo!
I don't remember. Huh? Yeah, there are so many achievements in that game.
Yes,
it's over 800.
And I got. Splatoon 2.
Hey!
I haven't played that one yet.
Neither have I.
It's a good one.
Oh, yeah? And I also got, since I have an extra remote, I got a charger for everything too. So I don't have to worry about having one set of good remotes and one set of dead remotes.
It's always a damper on your gaming addiction where you just want to play an unhealthy duration of games. Mm-hmm. Like you just want to keep going on even though it damages your body. Yeah. But then the power, like the batteries,
the controls lose power.
Yeah, and it's like a signal that you need to actually engage in a healthy activity, and you don't want that to happen.
What do you mean? I'm already jumping up and down, and you know, to spin my hat around and like make thing, I have to swing my arms around like I'm a flailing crazy.
It's true.
Man.
I'm sure you have very strong forearms at this point. It is good exercise.
Must put the strap around so you don't like throw them into the. TV.
Well, I've been listening to Scientific American, and they're talking about how exercise from video games is one of the best kind of exercises you can have. That may or may not be a fact.
I was going to say, what are they based it on? Mm-hmm. Like just out of curiosity, I don't have a stake in it.
One can accuse me of basing it on pure fabrication. Well, like, that would be a fair accusation.
Oh, so Scientific American didn't actually write an article on that.
That may be true. I will not confirm or deny.
Okay, so I do have to
admit. Shout out to We Fit. It's I'm kind of sad that the only way We Fit is like still going is there's a cool Smash Brothers character based off the We Fit trainer.
Yeah.
Is it a fit character?
Oh yeah, she's like a super fit, and there's this great piece of Street Fighter fit, like a Street Fighter tribute art that came out recently that like called back to like a piece of Smash art or maybe the other way around that's making the rounds. Like people love Wii Fit Trainer on the Smash. Like she's like one of the characters that like the pro players use.
You know, in the 60s, they would have called her a Fitbit. I'm just saying. They would maybe a British.
No, now you wear those Fitbit.
Yeah.
Oh, I do remember. Yeah, the Wii. Okay, at least they lost the Wii Fit, from advancing the console. I had the Xbox Fitness app on my console, my Xbox with the Kinect, and it was like, no, you have to unlike the Wii Fit, whereas like you stand on the block and you're like, okay, I see you not putting the pressure. The Kinect would be like, I see you cheating. No, you are not. Those push-ups do not count. You do not go low enough. Or your jumping jacks aren't real jumping jacks. You're just kind of flailing your hands and hoping it counts. So the Xbox, it helped, and it was fun. And then they said, thanks for buying all those upgrades. We're not supporting this anymore, and we're going to pull it. We're going to completely pull it out of the entire thing.
It's pure crushing disappointment.
Well, especially where I have it installed. That's
you're
the other
invested.
Thing. Well, no, I have it physically installed on my console, and I cannot turn it on.
You can't become fit.
Well, I can't even I don't even care about updating to the point system and all that. Though it was kind of fun to be like, hey, my friends and me. You know, it was just like I can't even turn this thing on anymore now. It was kind of motivational.
Though I have to admit that I'm 99% focused, but there's a 1% question in my mind. Alex, what character was it that was the was it Princess Peach?
From what?
The fit thing.
Her. Sorry.
Oh, okay. Oh, this yeah! Character. That
I'm
character.
That's why I pulled it up. I wasn't sure what you were talking.
I didn't notice. Okay. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Sorry,
oh,
I pulled
like,
it up.
Who the character was? Oh, yeah. She's her own thing.
Yeah.
There's also like a dude that...
yeah, I see.
But he kind of just like fell by the wayside.
Oh.
So they only brought the female in. For Smash Bros. Super Smash Bros. That's funny, though. So I think I remember that with the commercial. She's like, yeah. We're trying to, win. I don't know. I remember the commercial vaguely.
They should really call her Wii Fight Trainer at this point, because I think more people have exposure to her as a character in Smash than as a a character in Wii Fit.
Mm-hmm.
No, I object to her figure. Actually, I think that it's gives a bad impression to the audience. High expectations.
I do think it's funny. She's giving poses to like all these other characters. Like, everybody do yoga poses.
I mean, yeah, that's her shtick. She does yoga.
Yeah.
No, I think it's the Barbie doll problem.
And she does like yoga all day.
But, yeah, but yeah, she's like,
I mean, like, imagine if We Fit like had just like Wario go out there like, man, let's do some push-ups. And then like his heart that's the size of a canned ham just like pops out of his throat and he just dies. He just drops dead. You have to call an ambulance instead of staying on the bounce board doing yoga.
That's encouraging because then you know you can do better than that. And so it's proper motivation. With her, you're like, why bother? She's already way better than I can ever be. Look, her weight is only 5 arrows. 5 out of 10 arrows. That seems, and her recovery is a full 8 arrows.
My experience with Wii Fit was she was very encouraging. Because she's always like, "Oh, you did a good job with that handstand or whatever you did."
She doesn't seem very emotive. How can you find encouragement?
You know, it's kind of weird. In the first version of Wii Fit, like the version that if anybody ever played it, is probably this version. They have the Metal Gear thing where their mouths don't move, and it's really kind of upsetting. But like in the Wii Fit for Wii U, they fixed that. I don't know why Nintendo is like, hey, let's do the Metal Gear thing and just like not have their mouths move. It's really weird it's really weird when they talk, except in the modern version.
Huh.
This seems like a good segue to Metal Gear, though. Jordan,
yes.
Can I interest you in another not exactly Metal Gear game coming out on the Switch?
Yeah.
Never Stop Sneaking. It's coming out December 14th, which is probably today if you're listening to this on Thursday.
You don't even need to say more. I'm sold.
For December.
December 14th. It's okay. Like is a sneaker release. I'd never even heard of this. And then just on Twitter, they're like, oh, hey, it's a Metal Gear ripoff, and you have to save Vice President Helicopter, who's literally a helicopter. And you also have to fight like these like really lame like bottom rung Metal Gear villains in basically Shadow Moses but not really. It looks really good. It looks, if you haven't watched the trailer, it looks just identical to Metal Gear for the PlayStation. They even do like the Metal Gear mouth thing where their like mouths don't move and they just do like this head bob when they're talking. And it's like a really convoluted plot where you have to save, again, Vice President Helicopter. And there's, I can't like remember all the details other than just, we must save Vice President Helicopter.
Wait a second, Alex. The make or break question is, does it have nanomachines?
I imagine if it does, it probably puts them on Front Street.
Yeah. You got to have your nanomachines. I mean
they wouldn't say that in the trailer.
In the first Metal Gear?
Yeah.
It wasn't the...
Okay. You're talking about Metal Gear Solid.
Yeah, Metal Gear Solid. It's a ripoff of Metal Gear Solid.
Okay.
But Metal Gear Solid mentioned nanomachines. That was like, it was a very small part of the plot, as it should have remained.
I object to that statement, Alex. Nanomachines are everything. They're amazing. You know, that's actually how DNA origami is possible. Nanomachines. It is nanomachines, actually. It's amazing.
As soon as we're off the pod, and this includes you, the listener, definitely go check out Never Stop Sneaking. And that's with an apostrophe at the end. I did just like drop the G. It's literally, it's Never Sneaking. Stop, SNEAKAIN apostrophe. And I don't think it's coming out on anything except for the Switch. And I'm really shocked that I'd never heard of this before, but yeah, like just this month it was announced. And also coming out this month too, which I guess that's kind of a cool strategy because there isn't like this long waiting period. It's like, oh, hey, there's this cool game coming out like next week.
Well, there'll be a link in the show notes. Definitely.
Yeah, that's a really cool. Where did you even find that?
I just saw it like on Twitter. Like I was just like, this writer for Tiny Cartridge, JC Fletcher, is like, oh, hey, it's a Metal Gear Solid parody. Then I clicked on it, and like, it's a trailer from the guy who made it. And it's like, oh, yeah, this is coming out on the Switch like next week. And it had like, I don't know, like 30 retweets or something. And it looks totally great. Like if you go, like when I went to the Facebook page, it was like the same deal. Like six people had retweeted it or shared it on Facebook. I don't know what the numbers are like now, but it would be criminal if that game isn't like on the front page of like every Metal Gear fanboy's page.
Yeah, on YouTube, it has nearly 89,000 views,
which actually
that makes me feel a lot better.
Well, that's also that video has been on since October 5th. That is not impressive for that.
Oh yeah, never stopped. Published October 5th.
Yeah. So, but still, I would expect like this that did not get good advertising behind it. And,
possibly. Yeah, I don't know. What's the typical response? How many views are good?
Million.
A million views?
Straight up. More is better.
Yeah, more is better, but basically million.
A million? I don't know. Like, Avengers Infinity Wars, it got 20 million views in 24 hours, I think it was. And that's the biggest movie. Like, that'll probably be the highest grossing movie when it's released. And so it seems like if you're 1/20th in 2 months,
I don't know
what that is.
Game trailers are kind of weird on YouTube anyway, and especially like Let's Plays have this problem in spades. Even if a game has tons of views, it doesn't ever like directly translate to sales in a meaningful way. Like it's usually the way it's promoted in the stores it's sold in is like a bigger factor, or the way it's like written in like Kotaku and like the press. Like usually that has a lot more to do with like the kind of sales they get in terms of like promotion equals sales than YouTube does. Like YouTube's just baffling, like how little connection there is to this performance on a YouTube directly correlating to sales. So
no.
I wouldn't worry about too much.
Okay, maybe it's not so bad.
The good thing
like,
about the
exceptions that are like maybe like Surgeon Simulator and Goat Simulator, but I mean those ones also have appeal outside of YouTube, and people wrote about it, and like it got promoted on stores like after the videos exploded. So I mean like there's certain things that'll break that formula, but they're not like a typical game. Like it, just like a JRPG, like just a JRPG or like a platformer, having like a lot of like Let's Plays for it on YouTube or like trailers for it, it doesn't mean it's gonna like sell like really super great. Speaking of which, the Robo V Dino trailer I think has like -6 views. So search for Robo V Dino on Twitter and give it a like. Not Twitter, YouTube. This is probably why it has -6 views, because I don't know what Twitter and YouTube are.
Do you have any other special things you want to suggest for people to hurry up and watch before net neutrality is revoked and they're no longer allowed because their ISP has a stranglehold on certain things?
I guess we probably should talk about that. That's going to happen this week, and it's probably like at this point you're probably either paying for your enhanced Comcast or Cable One connection to download this podcast.
No. This is the other thing. It's stupid that this is still being brought up. So call your don't even write your congressman anymore, congresswoman. Call them now, because it's at that point.
There's basically nothing that can be done at this point. Like it's, I mean, you can write your Congress people, but it's, I mean, like I guess that's probably the best thing to do, but like
it's basically going to happen.
Yeah. That's pretty much it. There's basically like, this is always going to happen. And there's basically no way to prevent it because telecoms just have so much power in this country, and like they're just going to get more powerful. Like the FCC, or maybe it wasn't FCC, maybe it's the FTC, is being pushed. Like, no, it was the FCC was recently deregulated to allow like one outlet to own like multiple forms of media. So, like, for example, there could be a single owner of a newspaper and a radio station in, like, the same town. So, I mean, like, That one was, the fix is kind of already in with the FCC in terms of deregulating the favor of telecoms. So it's not like this wasn't going to happen.
And it's even more problematic because the previous opposition, like Netflix, Google, Facebook, and everything, that opposed it in, I believe it was 2016.
They've been opposing it. Are you saying that they're supporting it now?
They're silent on it because they've already made their deals. So, there's not much of a rumble going on for them because they have essentially secured their position, I imagine. It's going to cost them, I suppose, more than it would without net neutrality, but I think they're in a...
Or it won't because Comcast will give Google a break. It's like, hey, you're a massive provider, we could charge you more, but we won't if you promise not to lay broadband in any of our markets.
Yeah, that's the thing. Google is, some of these larger companies can just start doing that. On the advantage on our side is, okay, pretty, because they go like, oh, we'll compete, it'll grow. No, you're not going to compete because there's nothing stopping you from competing now, and you're not competing now. On the good side for the competition is we still have cellular competition. And
not really, though, because, Verizon's the biggest broadband provider in the United States, too.
Well, but you could get a hold of AT&T, Verizon, T-Mobile, Sprint, rando person that uses whatever, pop a SIM card into a modem, pay for the unlimited package that some of them, that they will be now competing for.
Well, that's what they do in Guatemala, where it's net neutrality is not a thing. There is no net neutrality, and so people use multiple SIM cards.
Yeah. And their phones are, but that means that we do have some we can get competition. It won't be in the wires up to our house, but at least we might be able to pull something off.
Yeah, this is going to be a problem. I mean, you can try to cope with it
to happen. It's stupid if it does.
It's going to happen.
It's stupid. Go support Electronic Frontier Foundation and all these others. Go call your congressperson.
Yeah, well, we knew this was in the cards when, what is his name, Anjit or whatever,
who's Anjit Pai.
Yeah, was appointed, because that was explicitly why he was appointed.
Yeah, so and there's also for some reason this time around there's popular support for rescheduling ISPs as I think it's taking them away from Title II and assigning them as Internet. I'm not sure if the word service that they use, but they use a slightly different term that in FCC speak basically means it's non-essential, and there shouldn't be any regulation. There shouldn't be regulation on that retitling. That little change of phrasing is enough to basically repeal net neutrality. So, and there's also this weird, because it's happening right now, there's this fueled with a tiny bit of popular support. And when I say popular, I mean basically 25% of people that just sit around watching Fox News all day are just super happy about it. But I don't think there's going to be there's going to be any real reaction to it. We'll basically have to wait for a shakeup in Congress for it to happen. And there's going to have to be a very clear support for this from constituents to make it happen. So it's going to happen now. The real fight's going to be after there's skin in the game in Congress, and there are Congress people that are receptive toward reenacting net neutrality. It's going to take a lot of work, and it's not over yet. But right now there's not much you can do.
I do wonder how partisan this issue would even be, because I know on both sides of the political spectrum, there's strong opposition to this because it really only benefits the ISPs. It benefits no one else but the ISPs.
It's really weird. There's this time around, and I don't want to bring up it's not all propaganda, though there is this weird propaganda mill that's putting out anti-net neutrality stuff that uses exactly the arguments of net neutrality, just copied and pasted, but it says that repealing net neutrality will give us net neutrality. It's bizarre, but that's what's coming out of the propaganda mills. But there's this, there is I mentioned specifically a like a tiny, tiny minority is like super in support for this. And I think it's more just like a, it's just kind of like a thing of resentment, because like the same people that are like very pro net neutrality, like the, are kind of represented as this like political class that's like, political class that people are resentful toward. So people who don't like Silicon Valley, or people who don't like those coastal elites, like this is a way that you can, like, this is a, like a way that angers them. So that makes it a good thing. Like just anything that falls in that category of resentment is popular with a tiny portion of the US population. So, I mean, as long as there's some kind of popular support from those folks, there is still going to be a voice on the other side, but it's just absolutely bizarre. Like, and it's like coming from a perspective that I just don't understand, but that's what the voice is, and that's what it's saying.
Well, the silver lining in all of these things is that this is a real world experiment. So I guess we get to see how this pans out.
Well,
we know how it pans out. I mean, look at Portugal, or like you said, Guatemala. I don't know if Guatemala actually has net neutrality or not.
No, they
Portugal
don't.
Portugal specifically has tiered packages, and it's apparently a nightmare.
A lot of EU countries actually are not with net neutrality. It was based on an article I was reading. I can't remember where I read it. I think it was Guardian that I was reading it. But yeah, Guatemala, I'm pretty sure it's Guatemala. My memory is not the the most reliable. It is a Central American country.
The only potential like upside I can see to this is, in the name of accelerationism, it might actually like get some municipalities to say, screw it, we're going to have it as a public utility. It's going to be owned by the city.
Mm. Yeah,
and it's just going to come out. It's going to come out of your water bill. We'll teach old people how to use computers, but they're getting internet. Mm. So like that's the only way. That's like the only upside of this I can see. Like from it's just pure accelerationism, because that's going to make 75% of people's well, I shouldn't say 75%. Basically, anybody who's using the internet in any way in the United States is going to be impacted by it in a negative way.
Everything. Here's the other thing I was thinking about before was, the day it goes through, it's not just going to be, oh, here's the tiers. No, they're going to slowly trickle this in. Mm-hmm. The day after it happens, like, see, nothing bad happened.
Yeah, it's going to depend on the ISP too, because Comcast said that on like this page that had like this press release about we're not going to create tiered setups. Mm-hmm. We're basically going to follow the current net neutrality rules. We just want this piece of FCC requirement taken out. Like the day that Ajit Pai said that this is what they're voting on, Comcast like rephrased it, like just changed that page. So it was all of a sudden like much vaguer language. So some ISPs are going to do it like probably day one, because they just hate their customers. But
and there's nothing that the customers can do. But that's the thing, is that maybe they will start making their local, start getting their governors and everything. And maybe that's what we need to start doing, is start writing our mayors and all that, and start going, hey, start putting up things in the city. We need these TV utilities.
I do wonder.
I forgot who said it on Twitter, but someone posted that the first person that runs on the platform of "Do you hate your cable company?" is going to be in Congress for 50 years.
Oh, I totally believe it. Oh, they could probably end up be forced into presidency for more than two
terms. It was kind of a joke tweet, but nobody likes their cable company. I mean, if they, like, either for billing reasons or it's just the ultimate example of like, I guess cable companies are just kind of their own thing, because they're kind of like a privately held utility that's held by many hands. And there isn't anything exactly like it that impacts a person's daily life so much. And it just causes so much anger. I really think if someone said, "Do you hate your cable company? I'll help fix it," they would probably get elected.
The thing that I do not like, the thing I like least about them, is that when you call their customer service and complain, it actually gets them excited and they start feeling their nipples.
Yes, we all watched that South Park episode.
Good times.
Yes. We're actually getting close to the end. But there was one thing you wanted to ask me.
I knew you were going to bring it up. You couldn't resist Star Wars, right?
Yes.
Yeah. What do you think? It's getting good reception. Does that impress you? Does it?
I already bought my ticket. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I'm ignoring all that. I don't want to.
People say Mark Hamill. Pretty good.
I don't care. I'm going to go watch it. I paid my $30. I'm going to go watch my movie. I'm going to get my 6 extra minutes of footage.
You know, they may insert another Frozen short in that movie. I think they're going to do that with every Disney movie now.
Why not?
You'll have to watch your 20-minute Frozen.
I'll watch my 20-minute Frozen. My 6 extra minutes of footage that you're not going to get to watch because you're not coming to my $30 preview.
I'll be at Lady Gaga.
Oh, yeah. You get to go watch.
I get to preview that.
Yeah.
Or just view.
Yeah, I was going to say view.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, I'm actually getting the early showing, so it's not kind of a preview.
Yeah, there's no early showings for this.
No. That would have been like the first showings back on the beginning of this.
There are earlier showings, but then this becomes a philosophical question. What's the earliest when she first put on a show, when she was singing in front of her family? When she was singing in front of the mirror, she gave her own first earliest showing to herself.
Well, there's that, but I meant for like this. Yeah, like you could go with the first showing is the preview showing.
Yeah. In that location.
Yeah. Why not?
Because people have seen it.
My deal?
Mm-hmm. It's
not terrible.
It's $30.
Yeah, but it's not terrible. Nobody's buying tickets. So I have multiple reasons why this $30 is not terrible. One, nobody's buying tickets. I'm going to have a fairly okay theater, spacing-wise, for a Star Wars movie opening night.
Are you going to unzip and relax?
No.
Oh.
Just no. How about that?
Okay.
But we're not going to be super packed. For Star Wars, it's usually super packed. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing, I get a free regular popcorn.
Hey!
I get Star Wars cards, trading cards. I get a lanyard. I get stuff.
Lanyards are my favorite.
I know. I am actually going to come out of this movie, especially with the movie ticket and everything, positive, actually, with how much all of these little things cost.
Hmm. Yeah. Are you going to have extra butter on that popcorn?
I don't know, maybe.
At no cost?
Maybe.
Or additional cost?
I'm so-so on the butter. But I have my own personal regular popcorn.
You know, people call me strange for this. And when I say people, I'm actually exaggerating. No one's called me strange for this.
But you're strange for this.
Okay.
I don't know what this is yet,
so,
but you're strange.
You retroactively made me not
strange.
A liar.
Okay.
Yeah. So I like to put enough butter on my popcorn that it is actually soggy. It's almost a pile of mush.
Interesting.
And I know this is not good for me, but I'm eating buttery popcorn, so... It's
so
okay.
The butter is so with me. This is my bad part. I like the seasonings, and they're usually extra salty.
Mm.
Usually,
do you put Tabasco sauce on your popcorn?
I have not tried that.
That'd be strange. I haven't tried it either.
Nah.
I actually used to do that at my old job. They had a popcorn machine at the there, and I don't really like popcorn. So I try to find something to do to the popcorn to make myself like it more. Because it's free food. I mean, you can't say no, right?
Mm.
And I would just totally like dump Tabasco on popcorn. And it's not too bad. The only problem is it makes the popcorn kind of wet. So like you're better off like with a dry spicy powder. But yeah, popcorn's like a popcorn's pretty good with spiciness attached to it.
So you'd recommend it?
Yeah, I'd say so. Yes, I.
Since you like your soggy popcorn, yeah.
I do like my soggy popcorn. I'm not sure if I would like it soggy with spiciness, but...
Soggy spice?
I might give it a shot. Maybe lightly.
Maybe get like a handful of kernels and try it out.
Why not? Don't knock it till you try it, unless it's murder. Then don't try that.
Actually, there's plenty of stuff I wouldn't try.
Yeah. I agree.
But there's definitely one, though. But I'll try the popcorn.
And try
sriracha.
The show.
Maybe it'll fit.
Yeah.
Maybe it's sriracha.
Sriracha.
Mm.
Sriracha. I can't say that word.
Sriracha?
That's, yeah.
Sriracha.
Stacey. Sriracha.
Yes, so next week we'll talk about Star Wars, but not spoil the Star Wars.
Okay.
Are you going to watch Star Wars?
You bet I am.
Are you going to watch it before a month is up? Last time you didn't want to.
What?
You and Joe were like, we're not watching
it
for a month.
I watched it. Well, no. I do believe.
Or did you guys go with me for that first showing?
No, we didn't go first showing because it was too crowded. But I believe we did watch it within the first week of release. It was just that it was initially so crowded, and I didn't want to deal with that. I'm going to endeavor to watch it now that finals are about over for me, and I can do productive things at last, like watch movies. And so, yeah, I plan on watching that and Justice League, even though I have my reservations.
Oh, you still haven't watched that?
I haven't watched it.
Well, I haven't watched Coco, so there you go.
I think that you're missing out more than I'm missing out.
I think you're missing out a lot.
Well, not for long for either of us, I guess, because I plan on watching Justice League, and you better be watching Coco. It's good for you. It'll invigorate your soul and your perception of the world.
You'll give me a warm, fuzzy feeling.
It will give you that. It will actually give you a hot, fuzzy feeling.
Oh.
It's pleasantly hot.
Okay. All right. And because I just like talking about MoviePass, go check out Costco. Because they've released an annual price, $90. That saves you 3 months of it.
That's pretty good.
And it'll also get you out in case they end up jacking up the prices for you watching it too much.
You know, we're not sponsored by MoviePass.
Or Costco.
But I kind of wish so, because we talk about MoviePass all the time because they're awesome.
I know.
Yeah, I would feel fine being sponsored by them because I could be the honest guy saying, I love MoviePass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Instead, we're the honest people saying it. So I was just going like, hey, take advantage of this. Because before it was like, take advantage because be an early person. Get in before your theaters go, or AMC or somebody goes, oh, we can't support it. Now get in while you can get this advantage, because the theaters aren't, you know, like AMC's not getting out of it.
Mm.
They're finding their loopholes a little bit here and there by like, upcharges or other things. But MoviePass has been changing their terms of agreement, and they have written in there that if you watch it 20 times, it used to say they will shut off your account.
Mm.
Now it says they may push you, or that they will push you to a higher thing.
What, MoviePass?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Already they're renegotiating there.
They have not created these plans. Also, like the annual one, they talked about the fact that the annual one was going to exist. They're like, when the annual exists, this is, you know, these will be the things. If you get it on the annual, so you'll have paid everything up front, they can't really push your next billing higher because you're already in your annual contract.
It's a disturbing sign of things to come, though, because once that annual has been used up, then you have
to sign up for the higher one.
Right. And so, okay, I can see how this is going. The movie pass was too good to be true.
Yeah. Actually, I'm kind of curious how it's going to work, because you cancel your movie pass, because to get this annual one, you have to cancel your movie pass. But if you cancel your movie pass, you can't sign up for 9 months. I've been hearing people been doing it okay.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Canceling and then re-signing up through Costco?
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe you have to sign up through another email address. We only, you know, everyone only has like, what, 5 email addresses?
Wouldn't they know your credit card, though? It's like, hey.
Can use PayPal. And I'm using the same credit card in 2 accounts.
Okay.
But there's also talk of maybe a family plan coming around, which is nice, because one card here's for the child. Here's for the other child. Here's for the mom. Here's for the dad. Here's for the cousin. Everyone has to have their own card right now.
Okay. Well, now I am endorsing MoviePass with a hint of caution. I'm like,
they need to make money.
Well, they're supposed to make money by being Big Brother and spying on us and selling our information.
No, they can only make so much. They have identified they have to make it off of, because the average movie cost is like $7 or $8. So
elsewhere.
Oh, no. Nationwide. Talking nationwide. Not here in Pocatello, Idaho, or Idaho Falls, or where else where they're like somewhere between $10 to $20. Talking about nationwide, I think that is also counting in the dollar theaters.
Mm.
So nationwide, the average movie theater cost is about $8. Mm. So if you go watch it once a month, you are actually losing money. On the average.
Mm-hmm.
If you watch it more than once a month, you are taking advantage on the average.
Mm-hmm.
In places like here, watching the movie once.
Just once.
Just once. You are getting advantage.
That is very true. except for matinees. Actually, except
for matinees or special days or anything where they do massive discounts.
It legitimately bothered me. The second time I used MoviePass, it was incidentally on a matinee. It wasn't deliberate, or it was a cheap Tuesday night. Mm-hmm. And they
you
told
were
me.
Sad.
Yeah, well, I wanted to ask if they could make it more expensive.
I want to charge this company that's helping me out so much.
Well, yeah, because they're actually scanning in points at that.
Now you can't make points off anymore.
I know.
And it's not AMC, it's MoviePass. Well, it's in their terms of agreement now.
That you can't make
points. You cannot use it for more than just watching the movie.
Oh.
You cannot be getting points.
Why wouldn't... Oh, because of people like me who would say, I want to go to the most expensive version of that movie.
Maybe.
Yeah, that would probably be the reason.
So yeah, there's a lot of stuff with it.
But yeah.
They have been updating their terms of agreement. They've been sending out... instead of being the company that's hiding it, they send out emails going, we have updated. They say stuff in the app. There's all this. So it's not that hard to find. Like, and it's not the complex terms of agreement. Like, I was like, all right, fine, I'll go look at this. And I started scrolling through it. I was like, actually, this is fairly straightforward. And this is like that 9-month thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's like top line. They don't even mess around with that. They're like, we are letting you know right now. If you cancel your account, you can't sign up for 9 months.
You're out.
Like, first thing, they don't even, there's like, we're not going to hide this. We're letting you know.
You can't show up with a fake mustache and say, come on, guys.
Let me sign up again. Hey. I just need another email address. But yeah, we're over now.
Okay.
So, famous last words. Go, Alex.
Check out Never Stop Sneaking. It looks really good. At least watch the trailer.
Oh, yeah. Word match, Schadenfreude, AMC, MoviePass.
Pokemon has a new update, and there's Christmas special. Yay!